Our message this morning is on examining and proving ourselves. Examining and proving ourselves. And we want to start at 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5. It says, examine yourselves whether ye be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be reprobates. As I was reading this scripture, and the Lord started dealing with me, and he started talking to me about examining ourselves. We spend a lot of time examining things. When we go to the store and we go shopping, you know, we examine the things that we're picking up. We kind of go through the tomatoes, pick out the ones that we want, the best ones, and we go through anything else, and we're looking for the package that looks the freshest, and we're examining things. We're examining the quality of clothing or anything else. We're always examining to see what kind of quality does this have. You know, is this going to last? Is this good, you know? And as I was thinking about it, we spend a lot of time examining those outside things. We also spend a lot of time examining each other.
Yeah.
See, we look on each other. We notice this little thing and we notice that little thing, and you know that isn't good and this isn't good, and we kind of examine each other. We examine people we see on the streets. You know, we watch people. We see what they do. We examine people in the stores, and we notice how they are and what they're dressed like and everything. I remember there was a time that I had. I was standing in line at the grocery store, and I walked up behind this young man, and he was covered in tattoos, and he had piercings everywhere, and he had purple hair, and it was sticking straight up and everything, and you examine that. You see it. You notice it. And your mind starts thinking, you know. And that young man turned around to me and he said, oh, he says, please go in front of me.
Wow.
And I said, whoa, I wasn't thinking of that. Right. See, I was examining him, but I didn't know that.
Right.
I didn't know he was going to be so respectful and that he was going to look at an elder person standing there and let them go in front of him. I didn't know that. We don't know very much.
Right. No.
But we need to examine ourselves. The scripture says that we don't know ourselves, we don't know our heart, we don't understand a lot of those things about ourselves, and we can all testify, anybody that's been saved for very long can testify, I found some things out about myself I didn't know.
Amen.
So, but we have to examine ourselves. So this morning we'd like to just throw out a few scriptures here on all the different things we should be examining. In our life, we should be looking at our whole salvation experience. We should be examining it.
Yeah.
We should be proving it. Is it worthy? Does it have the quality it should have? Does it prove out in the tough times? Does it prove itself out? Do I see it? Do I notice it? So we want to start in Acts 2:38. And this scripture says, then Peter said unto them, repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repent and be baptized. You know, that's the start. That's the start of our salvation experience.
Yes. Yeah.
We repent, and we're baptized. And there are many, many people out there that they say things like, I've accepted the Lord, you know, I believe in God, but that's where it starts. It starts with repenting,
yeah,
and then being baptized. Yeah. There are a lot of people that have, they've been saved maybe for a while, and maybe they've had a lot of trials, a lot of ups and downs, and different things have happened, and they're not very satisfied with their experience and all, and they begin to question, do I still have what I started out with? Do I have this way. And do you know that there are people that have decided, you know what? I'm just going to make sure. I'm just going to make sure. They make another trip to the altar and they're baptized again. Because they are in a place where they feel like, Lord, I'm just not sure where I'm at. And I've been struggling and I've been fighting with myself and everything. And I just need to know for sure that I actually have done this and done it properly. And if I need to kind of do my first works over and do something like that, then I'm going to do it. I'm going to do what it takes. And there are many people that have gone back and been baptized. I remember one service here. We were having a baptismal service for, I don't even remember for who it was for exactly, but we were having one. And I started getting phone calls. Different people wanted to be baptized again. Why? Because they'd been examining themselves. Amen. And they had been saying, I'm just not sure. And I want to make sure that I'm right there where I need to be. And that baptismal service grew. And I don't know, we had about 10, maybe 9 or 10 people that got baptized. And there was one that even that made up their mind right then, right there, out on the sidewalk, and they kicked off their dress shoes and went in their suit, you know. And I mean, they took off their coat and went because they just wanted to make sure.
Yes, yes.
They just wanted to know for sure.
Amen.
So we need to examine that. Where are we? Are we sure? We've got what we need. We know we've been saved. We know we've repented. We know we've been baptized. We are ready to go forth so that the devil can't throw anything at us and say, well, you didn't do this quite right, or you didn't do that. Well, I'm a child of God, and I know I am. I've done what God told me to do.
Yes, amen.
All right, and then Mark 7, 20 through 23. And he said, that which cometh out of a man, that defileth the man.
Yes.
For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, theft, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blaspheme, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. So we need to examine ourselves. This is a list of sin right here. This is pretty blatant sin. It's not those little places, well, I don't know if this is quite sin or if that's quite sin. No, these are very blatant sin right here. And we need to examine ourselves. Are we free? Are we free from all that? Are we free from how are we doing with sin in our lives? How, in other words, examine ourselves.
Amen.
Don't make excuses. Don't say I'm having a tough day.
Amen.
Don't say, where are you at? What's happening? How is your life changed? Have you put aside those sins? We go to the altar, we have things we know.
Amen.
Things that we repent of.
Yes.
And how are we doing with those things? Are they still there on the altar? Or are we struggling with the same old thing, the same old sin, the same old thing that was out there before? We need to examine and see, where are we at? Dear ones, the Lord is coming soon. And we can't afford to not look at things and be honest about things and check over our salvation. We've got to know what's real. We've got to know we have it all and what we're supposed to have. Philippians 4, 6 through 7 says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Prayer. Oh, dear ones, examine your prayer life. Examine your prayer life. Don't just struggle with it and fight with it and wish you had it and feel like, always feel like it has to be better. Examine your prayer life. Take note of where you're going wrong.
Yes.
What might not be working right? You know, prayer is us talking to God.
Yes.
It's us talking to God. And during our prayer, he talks back.
Yeah.
See, we get answers. We get impressions on our minds. We get, when the Spirit is working in us, when we pray, all of a sudden we're praying about something that we hadn't even thought to pray about, and it just goes on, and it's such a wonderful thing. When that happens, we know we have prayed. But how many of us are praying and struggling through the whole time? Hardly able to keep our mind on it. Hardly having to keep draw it back. Don't find pleasure in it. It's a duty. It's a struggle. It's something that I don't look forward to, because why? Well, of course the enemy's coming against you in prayer. Of course. And you need to realize that. And you need to realize you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight for prayer. Salvation is fighting.
Yeah.
You're in the army of the Lord.
Yeah.
So you're going to have to fight for this prayer. You're going to have to fight to where you can pray. I've heard the elders say this over and over and over. I've come to where I say it. Pray until you pray.
Yeah.
Oh, you know, sometimes that's difficult. There has been times that it has been several hours before I could pray right. You know what I mean? It just felt empty. And you get up and walk around and you say, Lord, it wasn't fulfilling. It didn't bring forth the connection and the peace and the comfort and everything of being connected to the Lord. It didn't happen. It needs to happen every day. That connection in prayer needs to happen every day. It needs to where you feel like you are in awe of God, and that He is in love with you. You are in love with Him, and there's this connection. It's not just saying words. And that's why He said, don't have all these vain repetitions.
Yeah.
You know, and we all have some. I mean, we all have some. Many of us start our prayer the same way every time.
True.
I do. I know. It's a vain repetition. It's your comfortable place to start.
Introduction.
You know, your introduction makes it much easier just to get that first sentence out. And it seems to be the same one almost every time. But the prayer needs to evolve from there. It can't just be that I have this list in my mind and I go through this list for everyone and make sure I name their names, although there's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
But there has to be a connection, a deep spiritual connection to God when you're praying. You know, where tears sometimes, and sometimes even laughter can come during prayer. There are times that you're praying for somebody else and the tears flow for them, for what they're going through. And it isn't necessarily a family member. It's just somebody you've heard about or some condition in the world that is happening. And you begin to pray and you become connected. Your prayer becomes connected to the Lord, and you prayed. You really got a hold of God. You really made a connection. Prayer isn't just about asking for things.
Yeah.
It's about being connected. So if we can sit there and we can pray and we can talk and we can talk and we can ask and we can ask and we can ask the Lord to bless this and that and everything, but if we never felt real connection, then we need to examine. Prove out your prayer life.
Lord.
Prove it out.
Help us, Lord.
Get into a place to where you shut out the world. Get in your closet. That's what that means. There was something said in Sunday school this morning about Moses being in the cloud, that the cloud would come down. Okay, in Fresno, we know what fog is, don't we?
Yeah.
Yeah, we have some thick fog. When you are, if you are out in the country where there's no lights and you're in that fog, it's like you're in a world by yourself. That's what it means to be in the closet. You are in a world by yourself. Everything is centered down to where it's just you and the Lord. That's prayer. That's where the real prayer happens. So examine our prayer life. Romans 15 and 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Examine your scripture reading, your Bible reading, your reading of the scriptures. You need to examine it. Prove it out. See what's there. It's not just reading a chapter every morning. It's not just reading a chapter before you go to bed. That's just another kind of vain repetition. It's actually loving the scriptures, being in love with the scriptures, believing that every scripture is saying something to you personally. I've told you recently how that I take the scriptures and I say, well, like this scripture here, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for, it says, our learning, for you, Sherry.
Amen.
I put my own name in there. And that everywhere that I can stick my name in there, where the Lord would be saying, now Sherry, do this. Now Sherry, look at this. Be aware of this. I put my own name in there.
Thank the Lord.
Because it makes it personal.
Amen.
It makes it personal. Because that's what God meant in the scriptures. It is personal. It is to you. And you need to love the scriptures to where you can't wait to get a hold of your Bible and read something. Lord, help us. Examine this. If you're not in love with the scriptures and it's a duty to pick it up and it's a duty to read and it's something I do to start off my day, but I want to hurry up and get through it so that my day begins. Examine your scripture reading. You have to love the Word of God. You have to literally love it. When I have my Bible, sometimes I'll read in my Bible, and then I hug my Bible. I hug my Bible all the time. When I'm in distress or when something is wrong, even when I'm sick, I have picked up my Bible and put it on my chest and hugged it. Because it has all the answers for me.
Amen, that's right.
God has written me a letter and a book to tell me how to navigate through this life.
That's right.
And are you interested enough to read the whole book? Have you read the whole book? Have you read it all the way through? Have you read it through two or three times? Are you interested? We need to look at, we need to love the scriptures. You need to cultivate a love for the scriptures. It needs to be personal. See, it's another way that we connect with God. It's another way of connection. Prayer and then reading His Word. What He left us.
Amen.
I remember there's a story told about people in Russia that were not able to meet together. And so they would hide and they would all get there by different routes and end up in the same house and kind of keep the lights down and so that they would not be discovered because it was could mean death. And this woman was walking down the street. She was trying to get to meeting and everything. And the policeman stopped her, you know, because it wasn't the normal time of night for her to be out and all these things. And, of course, no doubt she looked a little different from other people. And they asked her, where are you going? And she says, well, she says, a relative has died. And we're going to hear what He has left us.
Amen.
See, the scriptures is what He has left us.
Yes.
And nobody skips the will, do they?
No.
Somebody does and they say, come to the reading of the will and see what He has left you. The scriptures is what He has left us.
Praise God.
We can read in there the riches that He has left us.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful, wonderful thing. We need to look at the scriptures differently. We need to love them. All right, James 3, 17 and 18. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, Then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. This is talking about your character. This is your character. How are you? How's your character doing? How is that progressing? What are you learning about it? Are you working on the pure, you know, because that goes in a lot of areas in our life. Are you working on being peaceable, gentle? Oh, you know, we come out of sin, we can be pretty harsh. Gentle, easy to be entreated, and have mercy without partiality, no hypocrisy. I don't expect more of you than I do myself. Oh, but see, that isn't the way it goes in life. People are always expecting more of others than they're willing to do. But the one sentence in here, the one phrase that is one of the most important is easy to be entreated. How is that going for you? That means that the person that I'm close to might be a sinner. But they tell me something about myself. Do I accept it? Or do I cast it off because, well, they're not even saved? Or am I easily entreated by the scriptures? When I read the scriptures, I'm going to have to be easily entreated. I can't put up blocks and roadblocks about what I think or what I believe or anything against the scriptures. I have to read them at face value, right there where they are. And I have to be easily entreated by them. It's a difference between people that read the scriptures and understand and see what is required and those that don't. Because they're not easily entreated. God, you need to be easily entreated so that God can talk to you personally and through the scriptures. And so that even others can come to you, correct you. Can you do that? When somebody else comes up, I don't know how many people there are out there that are offended because somebody said something to them.
Yes, amen.
Easily entreated.
Help me, Lord.
Easily forgive. Easily do all of that. Easily be peaceable. Just how's your character coming along? You know, you need to really examine it. And you need to listen when people say, you're too harsh. Or they say, you know, you're too nosy. Whatever they might say about you, you need to listen. You need to listen. You need to be easily entreated to be able to function in this life because God is not going to tell you everything in the scripture. Or through a message, or when you're praying. He's going to let you learn some things from people. Mm-hmm. Why? Because if you can't humble yourself to people,
wow.
Right here, who you can see,
right.
How can you humble to a God that isn't physically in the room?
Yes.
How are you going to humble to him? The real proof as to whether or not you're humble towards God is how humble you are with others that are correcting you. And maybe, it's not everything they're saying may not be all true. We understand. I remember one time my husband wasn't saved. I was saved, and he told me some things about myself, and he listed them off, this and this and this and this. And I went running to the Lord, and I was praying. I was so hurt. And I said, Lord, you see what he said? He said this and this and this. And the Lord said, and when I said this, he says, oh, that one's true. And I went, huh? And that one's true. He says, that one isn't true. I said, oh, okay. And then he impressed me that you need to go and apologize. You know. Now, he's the one that told me about myself. But the truth of it was is that he had gotten it right. On 3 out of the 4, whatever, he had gotten it right.
Yes.
And I said, all right, I'll go and apologize for this and this and this. And the Lord said, no. He says, you just go and apologize. And I says, but he'll think I'm apologizing for all of them and that I'm guilty of all of them. He says, that's none of your business. That's none of your business. See, that's my business. He said, I keep the books. I know what's true and what's not true. You don't have to emphasize to them, you're telling me something wrong. Because only this one and this one am I guilty of. You don't have to keep the score. God is keeping all of that. All right, Philippians 4 and 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. How's your mind going in your salvation experience? How's your mind? What kind of control are you keeping over your mind? In the scriptures, it says to bring every thought into captivity, to bring everything and catch it all. How are you doing in your mind? See, you need to examine it. You need to prove it out. Oh, our minds get away from us so easy.
Yes, Lord.
And they run down tracks, and then we come up short and go, oh, how did I get there? And we have to pull ourselves back. But how are we doing with bringing all these thoughts into captivity? And how are we doing with thinking on these kinds of things? What are we going to do with these kinds of things?
Yes.
One of the reasons that I only listen to the news or look at the news on my phone about a couple times a week is because it's all bad news. There's hardly any good news. Once in a while, you'll read a good story. There'll be a good story, you know, on the news that say, you know, this person, you know, jumped into this building and helped rescue this child out of a burning building or something. And it's so refreshing and it's so wonderful. And you want to read the whole thing. But all those other things, headline, couple, that's it. Don't want to know anymore. Why? Because we have to keep our minds focused. We have to keep them focused on these kinds of things. Because there's all the world is the other. We're just a few. We're just a few people scattered out in this great big world, and all of the world has their minds full of all of the opposite of this. And we're going to have to fight hard to keep our minds under control.
Yes.
So how is your mind controlled? How is that? You know, there have been people that have studied over the ages. They want, you know, drugs and different things that they wanted to control the minds of other people. Why is that? Because if you can control the mind, you can control the person.
Right.
So if you let the devil control your mind for most of the day, who's got you in control?
Lord. Help me, Lord.
If you're going to let the Lord control your mind most of the day, then you're going to have to think on these kinds of things and cast out all of the other. You're going to have to get rid of it.
Amen.
Cast it on the Lord, pray about it, and let it go. You've got to put your mind on the things that God says are worthy to use your mind on. He made your mind to be able to be a vessel and in your body that he can deal with, a direct connection, a place where you can spiritually get in a place to be able to communicate with God. That's what your mind and everything is all about. But most people use their mind for the devil. They don't use it to communicate with God. They don't use it to better their character and better where their soul is. They don't use it like that. But God, we have to examine our mind. How's our mind doing? How many days do we spend, you know, down in the dumps or depressed or feeling this or feeling that and all these things? Where's your mind? Just take, whenever you're feeling things, just take a quick look and examine where your mind is at. Because your mind affects your feelings.
Yeah.
It affects it.
Yes, amen. That's true. That's the truth.
All right, 1 Corinthians 9:27. but I keep under my body, and I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. How is your fighting in this salvation? How are you dealing with fighting your own flesh? Fighting your own desires? Fighting your own loves? How are you doing? You need to take a good look at it. And you need to look at it honestly. Examine it. You know, examination isn't just something that takes a quick look and says, oh yeah, it's okay. No, an examination goes deep. It goes deep. Examination for quality. How's the quality of it? How's it proving out in your life, in your walk? How is that working? How much success are you having? We can know a lot of things about ourselves. I shouldn't do this, and I shouldn't do that. And my flesh cries out for those things. So how am I doing fighting it? How am I doing? Am I fighting it like I should? Am I keeping it under? Paul said he had to keep his body under every day. I have to keep it under. I keep my body under. Why? Because our bodies will cry out for things that are not good for us. My flesh cries out for things not good for me. The whole world is out there trying to satisfy their flesh. And the flesh is never satisfied. No matter what you do, it's going to cry out for you to go one step further.
That's true.
And that's why people in sin, they say, well, I'm never going to go that far. But that they end up there. Why? Because the flesh, you give in to one thing, and then that's over. And so now the flesh cries out for the next step. And it cries out for the next satisfying thing. And the next thing you think is going to make you feel good or make you feel have fun or whatever.
Been there, yes.
So how you doing with your flesh? How you doing fighting your flesh? Are you keeping it under every day?
No.
Are you beating it down every day? Are you telling it no every day? You know what I'm talking about. You open the refrigerator and then close it and say no. No.
Help me, Lord.
No. I won't do it. Or the devil tempts you to spend time on your phone doing some things, all kinds of things. And you say, no, I've been on there too long. Or you're just sleeping too much, staying in bed too long, not getting a good start on your day. Those kinds of things. Can you say no? Staying up too late. Can you say no? How's your flesh doing? Examine it. See how you're doing. Listen, it doesn't do us any good, dear ones, to let these things keep going because it causes us things. All of these things, if anything is off on any of these things in our salvation experience, it causes stress and strain on the other parts. It doesn't just stay in one area. It causes stress and strain somewhere else. You're fighting, not doing a very good fighting, very good job fighting your flesh. You think your prayer life is going to be good? You think you're going to be able to concentrate on the scriptures? Ephesians 6:12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, and against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. How's your fight against the devil? Are you winning? Are you hacking him up? Are you sending him on his way? Does he run from you? Does he run from you? You need to know that you could make him run.
Amen.
And you need to prove it over and over. And you need to reprove it every day that you could make him run. You could make him shut up. Because he's going to try to come in and talk to you. You need to know you can make him be quiet.
Amen. That's true.
How's your fight with the devil?
That's true.
Does it feel like that he's winning half the time? It's not supposed to be like that.
That's
Examine it. See what's wrong. Examine all these other areas we've talked about, because all of these things are all hooked together.
Yes.
And if anything is off, it gives the devil more power in your life. We need to examine our whole spiritual life, our salvation as a whole, and how it's working for us. We need to look at it all. And fighting the devil, we need to know he's a defeated foe. We need to know that.
Yes.
And we need to walk around like he's a defeated foe.
Help me, Lord.
We can't walk around and let him feel like we're defeated.
Right.
We have to walk around and act like he's defeated.
Man, help me, Lord.
You know, people will tell you that you have to appear strong, or other people will take advantage of you. They say if you're walking down the street or something at night or whatever, and there's, you know, some people coming, and you get kind of a funny feeling like maybe this isn't going to be a good encounter here. They said to walk with purpose and with not showing any fear and everything, and that it actually helps defeat who? Those two little people out there? No, the devil. See, it defeats the devil. That's what we have, is that we can defeat the devil. We can walk tall and strong in the Lord and say, you are a defeated foe, and I don't need to pay attention to you at all. You have nothing to say to me. You have nothing for me. And I don't have to have you even near me. I can make you run.
Thank the Lord.
I can make you run.
Thank the Lord.
John 16:13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Have you got the Spirit in your life? Do you have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in your life? Have you consecrated your life to him in such a way that you can approach him on bended knee and ask him for the gift of the Holy Spirit? Do you have him working in your life? Leading you, directing you. Has he given you the power that he's supposed to have? Because Jesus said, I'm sending it to him back because it'll give you power. And they had power.
Yes.
Comforter. He's a comforter to us. When things are going bad, the Holy Spirit's a comforter. But most of all, it says he's a guide. Listen, we're trying to make it to heaven. The Holy Spirit came from that. He knows how to get there. He knows what to help you with to get there. He wants to live inside of your being, possess you, become a part of you, so that he can lead you and guide you down the right path.
Amen.
You don't want to go to a foreign country or something and try to figure out how to get around and everything all by yourself. Usually we seek out some kind of a guide. You wouldn't have wanted to go exploring with the explorers down through the centuries that went and discovered new lands and everything without a guide to show you that this plant is poisonous. Don't walk through that water. You know, there's quicksand in there. Don't do this. Don't do that. Be careful of these kind of insects. Be careful of these kind of snakes. And yet people want to try to get to heaven with no guide. No guide. He knows how to guide us around all the things, all the dangers that are here to get us to heaven. He has been there. He knows what is there.
Yeah.
He wants to take us there. And so we have to have inside of us, we have to have the Holy Spirit living so that we can find our way. We can be guided on our way. And do you know, without the Holy Spirit, this examination is not going to be very good. If you're going to just examine in your own spirit. You're going to examine in your own flesh. You're going to examine in your own mind. You're not going to be very successful. But with the Holy Spirit inside, He can help you examine the deep things that are down in you, the things that are giving you trouble. He's the one that reveals to you the things that are standing in your way. You need Him. So in this, in all of your salvation, all of these things, that the Holy Spirit, you must have this guide in order to be able to examine all these other places and come out with the right answer. Because the enemy's going to try to fool you. He's going to try to tell you, oh, it's not that, it's this over here. This is why, over here. Draw your mind way over there, have you fighting some phantom thing over here, when this is the real thing you need to look at and see, but He's going to hide it from you. Yeah. When you have the Holy Spirit within, the devil can't hide it from you. The Holy Spirit will reveal it. He is a revealer. He is the one that is going to guide you all the way to heaven. So you must have that. So as we examine ourselves, and as we prove ourselves, that we look at all these things, and say, where am I at in my salvation? Am I doing this right? Do I really have what I'm supposed to have on hand? We need to do this, and we need to do this all the time.
Amen.
This isn't a one-time thing.
Amen.
But you need to do this all the time. You need to understand where you stand. You need to know that everything's clear. You need to know you're doing everything you're supposed to be doing. You need to know that.
Yeah.
Why? Because without it, you aren't going to have the faith that you need for all the things that you need faith for. Believing in God, believing in the Scriptures, believing that you can have victory, believing you can make the devil run. You're not going to have faith. You have to have all of these things. You've got to examine them all the time and be sure that you're actually in the faith. You're actually walking in your salvation like you need to.
Amen.
Amen.